Chapter 1, Homecoming. December 11th, Mirth. A small group of people shivered on a clearing halfway up a steep hill. The three older men and 4 19-year-old former slaves were trembling more from the thunderous roar emanating from the cave in front of them than the frigid late December wind. However, the other 6, Elisa, Narayana, Versera, Stavius, Janice, and Tara, could all communicate with dragons and recognize the voice of their friend, Juice. A moment later, a giant dragon called an Egan charged out of the cave mouth and skittered across the frozen gravel where the path widened. He spun to face his friends and slid to a stop at the edge of the precipice. He shouted, "Guys, it is so awesome to see you again! Where have you been? We looked everywhere for you!" Dragons communicate through telepathy, but often vocalize when excited. Juice was a particularly excitable dragon. His tremendous screeching roar reverberated off the hills surrounding the valley. The former slaves and older men fled into the forest, but the rest of the group stood frozen, staring at their old friend.
"What are you doing? Run for your lives!" hissed the giant warrior boar from behind the tree line, but Stavius didn't have a chance to explain.
A small, white dragon had just charged out of the cave. In her excitement, she was moving too fast to turn in time and slid into her father, who grunted, "Oof!" as he puffed out a small cloud of smoke and slipped a little closer to the edge. Elisa and the dragon, whose name was Mintaka, raced toward each other and collided in a tumble of hugs, screeches, and giggles. 2 more small dragons ran out of the cave at top speed while Elisa and Mintaka wrestled on the ground. They didn't even try to slow down, choosing to use their father's belly as a springboard to launch themselves over their sister and land in front of their friends. Narayana and Versera read their companion dragon's minds and jumped onto their backs as soon as they landed. A moment later, the 2 dragons were flying low and fast through the valley with their riders in a no-holds-barred race. The young dragons bounced off their father's belly had, however, toppled him over the edge. 30 seconds of crashes, yelps, thuds, and bangs were followed by a lengthy pause ending with a thought, "I'm okay." General Jeremy poked his head out from behind a tree and exclaimed, "What in tarnation was that? Why didn't they kill y'all? And where did they take the girls?" Elisha had finished Mintaka's belly rubbed and climbed on her back to join the other 2 in their joyride. Janice laughed and answered, "These are our friends. The girls are flying Mintaka, Nari, and Sarah, and the big dragon is their father. His name is Betel, but he prefers to be called Juice." "Speaking of Juice, we should go down and see if the big guy's all right," added Stavius as he began trotting down the path. Janice jogged alongside him while the others followed at a safe distance. About halfway down the hill, Janice and Stavius heard Juice think, "Hey, guys, could I get a little help down here? There's a vine tangled around my tail and a tree pinning down my left wing." Boar and General Jeremy reluctantly agreed to help the struggling dragon, but didn't want to get too close to the massive creature. Juice cringed at every swing of Boar's mighty battle axe as he chopped the tree trunk in half. Janice wasn't sure whether Juice's reaction was due to the blows or from the mighty warrior swinging a battle axe near his body. Boar split the trunk apart in a matter of minutes. He, Stavius, and General Jeremy then carefully lifted the pieces off Juice's wing. Then Janice used Stavius's sword to cut through the vine entangling the dragon's tail. They stepped back as Juice gingerly shook off the remaining branches and crawled out of the debris. "How are you feeling, Juice?" asked Stavius as he saw his friend stretch his wings and twist his neck.
I'm fine," answered Juice. "It would take more than a tumble down a little hill to damage this physique."
Then he glanced up the 60-foot cliff face and reflected,
"Wow, that is a lot higher than I thought. Someone should put a guardrail up there. I'm big and tough, but the kids could get hurt. I might be a little stiff for a few days, but I'll be fine. So, who are your friends?"
"The big guy with the axe is Boar. He was our fighting instructor," answered Stavius. "And that is General Jeremy, the top general from the Lachian village where we were staying for the past few months," continued Stavius with a nod toward General Jeremy. General Jeremy and Boar cautiously waved at the dragon. They could hear Stavius, but not the dragon, who was staring in their direction.
The fat guy in the back is Mr. Ertish, our history teacher, added Janice.
Ertish grumbled, I still hate you, Janice. Juice thought, he'd make quite a meal if I ate intelligent beings. And Tara and the boys chuckled.
And these are the prophecy heroes who were captured and enslaved 6 years ago, continued Janice with a wave to the group of 19-year-olds. Juice bowed to the group and thought, please thank your friends for freeing me.
Janice said, Juice wants to thank you and to welcome you to his valley.
Boar exploded, his valley? Who does he think he is, anyway?
Juice roared at Janice, complaining, that is not what I said.
Stavius groaned, Janice, you are such a dick. Juice did not claim that this is his valley.
General Jeremy shouted, how are y'all able to talk to this big lizard anyway?
Tara answered, we can read their minds, which you can also learn to do with enough practice. Besides, they aren't related to lizards. They've evolved from birds.
General Jeremy grumbled, well, they don't look much like any birds I've ever seen.
Four interrupted to say, ask him why they chased us out of our homes and destroyed our village and my beautiful tournament field.
Juice turned to Boar and thought, we didn't chase you out of your valley, you jerk. We knew Stavius and the others would be heading this way and came looking for them. You guys were fighting in the valley when we arrived and saw another 50 Septumkelins waiting at the ridge to swoop down and finish you off. We carried those reinforcements off to a faraway place where they'll never return. After that, we moved into the cave since we had to flee our previous home when the Septumkelins invaded. We never forced you to move, and I'm rather insulted by your lack of gratitude.
Stavius did not trust Janice to translate Juice's answer. He quickly recounted Juice's explanation and explained that Juice could understand them, even if they could not understand the dragon. Boar turned to the big dragon and blurted out, but why did you have to wreck my tournament field? Juice was confused by this outburst and stared at the giant, angry warrior without a reply. Stavius explained that Boar, like Juice, was a gardener, and that the nearby field, which was now little more than a frozen, scarred mud patch, had once been a perfectly smooth, pristine lawn. Boar added that it had been much more than that. Stavius had never seen it in the spring. If he had, he would have known it was surrounded by daffodils, tulips, roses, azaleas, and dozens of the most beautiful and fragrant lilac bushes in the world. Boar had barely finished when the word, lilacs, exploded in everyone's mind.
What was that? Screamed General Jeremy.
That was your first communication with a dragon, explained Janice as he rubbed his head. Juice clearly likes lilacs. Juice was hopping from foot to foot, staring at Boar with his mouth agape and his head bobbing.
Tell him about my garden! Tell him about my garden! The big dragon thought to Stavius.
Stavius opened his mouth to speak, but was interrupted by Juice.
And tell him about my rhododendron, and the big maple, and the lovely pine trees, and my gorgeous lawn, which you destroyed.
Hey, you're the one who scorched your lawn trying to roast me, complained Stavius.
Well, it wouldn't have been so bad if you hadn't thrown up that shield and made my flames burn the grass and my maple tree, retorted the dragon. And then your friends landed in my rhododendron and broke most of its branches. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't bloom at all this year.
Tell Boar that I know just how he feels about losing his fields. I didn't know it was a lawn. I just thought it was a great place for my kids to play. Tell him it's now off limits to them and that I'll help him replant in the spring.
Oh, and tell him that I love lilacs, but have never been able to get them to grow. Ask him how he does it.
Juice! For the love of Venus, stop! Shouted Stavius and Janice in unison. Stavius shared Juice's remarks with Boar, ignoring the many continuing corrections and interruptions from the frantic dragon. Boar accepted his apology and was taken aback by the dragon's gardening interest and offered to help.
I'm sorry, I never knew dragons were interested in gardening, marveled the old soldier.
I don't think that many are, admitted Janice. However, Juice is different. For that matter, I didn't think that war-hardened soldiers were avid gardeners. I never understood why your field was so important to you.
Boar stared at the young man and took a deep breath.
Janice, my name used to be Billy Boar back when I fought for the Latians. I spent most of my adult life knee-deep in mud and blood, fighting and killing for my kingdom. I became tired of hatred, animosity, war, and death, but all I knew was combat. This valley gave me a chance to use my skills to train young heroes how to fight and survive. It was a noble job, but I was reminded of death every time I smelled the dust or mud of the old arena. I constructed my field with smooth, soft grass and surrounded it with beautiful and fragrant flowers to bury those memories. For me, stepping out onto a luxurious carpet of freshly mown grass and being surrounded by the beauty and fragrances of lush plants and flowers makes me feel the glory of a good fight without reminding me of the painful suffering of war. There was silence when Bor finished, and nearly everyone, including General Jeremy, was thoughtful. Juice, however, was jumping up and down and flapping his wings with excitement as he thought, "I love this guy! He is totally awesome! He has to learn how to talk to me!" Juice's excited flaps were pelting everyone with snow, ice, and gravel until Janice shouted, "Juice! Calm down, dude! You're killing us here!" The chagrined dragon immediately tucked his wings at his side and apologized to his friends. Stavius patted his massive head and assured him, "Don't worry, I'm sure you and Bor will soon be having long conversations about plants. He already heard you when you shouted about lilacs. But first, where is Safe? Why isn't she out here with us?" Juice cheered up at the thought of his wife and assured them that Safe was healthy and looking much better now that she had gained several hundred pounds of weight. He explained that she hated cold weather and was safely ensconced in the cave. Juice was sure she would be thrilled to see them. Tara explained to the newcomers that Safe was Juice's spouse and added that she agreed with Safe that it was too cold to be standing outside. She suggested that Bor and Ertish take the newcomers to the village while she and her friends called on the fifth dragon. Ertish asked if he could join their visit to the cave. He had left several boxes of files in there and was anxious about whether they were safe. Tara looked pained at his request, but reluctantly agreed. Juice, however, was hopping up and down again, eager to ask a question. "Can Bor fly with me to find the kids? It would be a great way to get to know each other, and it might help us learn to communicate," thought the big dragon. Stavius laughed as he repeated Juice's request to Bor. Bor appeared uncomfortable with the offer. However, Stavius assured him that dragon riding was an exhilarating experience that should not be missed. Bor hesitantly accepted Juice's offer, provided General Jeremy directions to the relocated village, and gingerly climbed on the dragon's neck. Juice lifted off and they heard Bor whoop with joy as the two of them circled above and made a dive over their heads before beginning their search for the girls. General Jeremy and the others left down the path alongside the river toward the village. Stavius, Janice, Tara, and Ertish ascended the trail in the opposite direction back up to the cave. "We'll see you for dinner," shouted Stavius. "We have Ertish with us, so you know we won't be late," added Janice. Tara and Stavius laughed as Ertish muttered, "I hate you, Janice. I truly do." "Yeah, we all do, but you know that he's right," laughed Stavius as he slapped his old teacher on the back. Ertish sheepishly grinned and admitted, "Perhaps he is, but he doesn't need to point it out in front of Tara."